The sermon series through the summer here at Rowandale has been based on the Ten Commandments, living as God's redeemed people. And we want to pick that up this morning again as we look at the fifth commandment, which is that of honor your father and mother. And there is the text there in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, very simply stated, honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This fifth commandment kind of signifies a change of emphasis in the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments were about our relationship with God, that we're to have no other gods besides him. A couple weeks ago we heard we're to revere his name and honor him. And those are the first four commandments, all about how we relate to God. And then starting here in commandment number five, from commands 5 through 9, it's all about how we relate to other people. And starting here with family life, honoring our father and mother. And then the last commandment is the commandment of not coveting. And that's a commandment that really is something that you deal with in your own heart and in your own spirit. It's man within himself. So it's this command that we're looking at today about honoring our father and mother, this is addressed to anyone who has parents. So I suspect that that covers pretty much all of us here today. And so it's something that we all need to look at and say, okay, how am I honoring my father and my mother? And you know, that changes through life, doesn't it? When we're young, we honor them in a certain way, specifically by obeying them. As we get older, we honor them in a little bit different ways. Even after they're dead, we honor their memory in special ways. And just the way that we talk about them before our grandchildren and pass on information about them. Parents, we all know, are responsible for teaching children many things. It's been said that for the first 18 months of life, we teach our kids how to talk, how to eat, and how to walk. And then for the next 18 years, we teach them to keep quiet, to stop eating so much, and to sit still. So it's kind of a different emphasis that we have, isn't it? Honor, though, is something that must be taught. You know, we've all been children once upon a time, and we don't learn honor naturally. It doesn't come naturally. It's something that we need to be taught in all kinds of different situations in life, how to honor our parents. And it's something that parents need to address with children. If they're not treating them in an honorable way, that needs to be confronted. I heard a story once about a man and his wife. They were going on a trip. It's going to be an extended trip to Europe, and they were going to leave the house, and their mother was living with them in the house, and so they had the son come in. The son and his wife came into the house to take care of the house and everything in it and the grandmother while they were gone. And after a couple of weeks, the father calls back, and he says to the son, so how are things going? He says, oh, they're going well. They talked about a few things. He said, oh, by the way, the cat died. And the father said, what? Cat died? That's my prize Himalayan cat. He said, and that was a treasured possession, and I treated her. How can you just say to me, blithely, the cat died? You know, you're supposed to treat me honorably. You're supposed to honor me in the way that you and speak respectfully. He was really upset. He said, well, what do you want me to say? Well, you could have kind of led up to it. You know, you could have said she got up on the roof somehow and we couldn't get her down. And then when the firemen came, they rescued her. But then she ran away. And as she was running across the street, you know, she got run over by a truck or something. But don't just say the cat died. Okay, fine. You know, the son said, okay, I'll try to remember that. And so they're talking a little bit. And he says, by the way, how's grandma doing? Well, somehow she got up on the roof the other day and we couldn't get her down. So he learned his lesson, you know, at least, you know, he wasn't going to just break the news. We need to be taught how to treat our parents honorably. As I said, it just doesn't come naturally. And, you know, isn't it interesting? You hear parents over and over again, and it's very interesting in the grocery store. You walk through the grocery store and you hear things, moms talking to their kids, you know, don't talk to me like that. You do as I say, or I love this one, because I'm your parent and I said so. I don't stick my nose in other people's business, but every now and then when I, you know, if I'm in the checkout line or passing somebody in the aisle and I hear a little confrontation like that going on, I'll just kind of look at the mom or the dad and say, good job. Keep it up. Yep, good for you. You know, they need a little bit of affirmation as well. But, you know, the problem is that many times parents don't want to be the bad guy, and so they let things go, or they give in to their children's demands. And that's not good. That's not a good thing. I mean, treat your children nice, yes. Give them treats, yes. You know, honor your children as well, yes. Do all those things, but don't, you know, don't let down. Don't let your guard down on this issue of honoring them. The Duke of Windsor has famously said, the Duke of Windsor, he was the guy who was born king back in 1936, or no, he wasn't born in 1936. He was supposed to take the throne in 1936, King George VIII, I think it was. And then he met the American Wallace Simpson, and he abdicated the throne, moved to America. And seeing life in America and the culture there, he very famously said at one point, the thing that amazes me about American parents is how readily they obey their children. Interesting. Of course, Britain up to that point was, you know, by that point in time was a very, you know, tucked up, you know, tucked down, stiff lip kind of society where everything was done a certain way. Maybe they needed to loosen up a little bit, but that's not a good thing when parents obey their children. The book of Proverbs says rebellion is bound up in the heart of a child, and it takes discipline to drive that from him. You know, we're all born that way. This isn't a class warfare kind of situation where we're pitting parents against kids. It's a natural situation where we are born with a certain frame of mind and a certain heart attitude, which, if left unchecked, will lead to damage in the long run. And so the Bible is very clear on this. And in fact, this command is one that Paul repeats in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. When he's going down, he's listing all, you know, the rules of order for a Christian home. And he talks about how wives and husbands relate to each other. He talks about how slaves and masters relate to each other. Because back in his day, practically every household had some kind of a servant working in it. And then he also talks about children and parents. And he says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. So there again, Paul was emphasizing and repeating this command there in the New Testament. Notice he uses the word obey, and he links up obedience with honor. You can't really have one without the other, can you? If children can't honor their parents if they're being disobedient to them. And so they have to go together. But there's obviously a progression of the quality of what this obedience and honor is like through life. As I said earlier, as young children, a young child is simply to obey his parent because he doesn't know better. He doesn't know that that thing out there is going to hurt him, and so he has to obey the parent to stay away from that. He doesn't know that it's proper and right and good for him to go to bed at a certain time, that it's necessary for his good physical development, so he just has to obey the parent. Of course, as children grow older, we can begin to give them reasons why, and that's how we respect our own children. But finally, as an older adult, as adults that have left the house, we can still honor our parents in very significant ways. Jesus was very concerned about showing honor to parents. And the passage that was read earlier by Pastor Ben, in Matthew chapter 15, was a confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees where they were all upset because Jesus' disciples weren't following the rituals, and that's the key word there, the rituals of the elders, the traditions of the elders, in the way that they washed their hands. You see, none of this is written down in Scripture, But the elders of the land, the kind of the intelligentsia of the land, it kind of come up with these ideas of, okay, the way that you must properly wash, and it wasn't just to get the dirt off your hands, it was a ceremonial washing which showed that you were now pure and clean to be able to eat the food that God had provided for you. And they had, you know, you dip your hand in the water, wash between the fingers, lift up your, let 10 drips drip off your elbow, you know, like all this routine that they had. Jesus just turned it around in that passage, and if you caught it while it was being read, he said, well, why do you nullify the commands of God? And I'm sure that kind of jolted them. Well, what are you talking about? Well, because it's said in Scripture, honor your father and mother. There are no limitations. There's no statute of limitations on this command. It's honor your father and your mother. From the time that you're a little child till the time that you pass from this earth, you honor your father and mother. That's a command of God. And Jesus said, you're nullifying that by your traditions. And they said, well, like what? Well, like the tradition that you have of giving to the temple. And so what the Pharisees had done is they had kind of convoluted this whole thing around so that they would say to someone, now that, you know, you say that you need that money to support your parents at home, but we're saying to you that it's more important that you give that money to the temple, because when you give that money to the temple, you're honoring God in that way. See how they, you know, they pulled out the spiritual trump card. You're honoring God by doing that, and you don't have to worry about your parents. And Jesus said, when you do that, you're nullifying the command of God. You're making your own man-made rules and rituals to supersede what God has said. No, it's wrong for you to take that money that you need to support your parent. It's wrong for you to take that and to give it to the temple. Interesting. I remember talking to a man once, businessman, and his church was going through a big expansion, and they needed millions of dollars for it and so on. And we just got talking about the giving, and they were going through a pledge campaign and so on. And I knew this guy pretty well, and I kind of sounded him out a little bit to ask, you know, to kind of get an idea of you know, how much was he involved in this, you know, not dollar-wise financially, but, you know, what was he contributing to this? And he said, no. He said, we're not contributing. I said, oh, why not? Because they had needs with their elderly, ailing parents. They had needs at home that they had to take care of. And for him to not attend to the needs of his parents, he felt would have been wrong. Well, you know what? Jesus would have said to him, you're right. You're right. You take care of your parents. You honor them. He was very concerned about honoring parents, and that was that confrontation with the Pharisees there in Matthew chapter 15. And he said by making up those other rules and getting around it, skirting the issue, they were actually nullifying the command of God, which is a pretty serious charge for him to lay against them. Well, let's ask ourselves some questions. Why should we honor our parents? Well, very simply, we could say because God commanded it. God just said, honor your father and mother. What more reason do you need to do something than that God says to do it? And so God says that we should do it. Well, the other thing is that there's a promise involved. And in order to gain the reward of the promise, you need to do what the command says. You know, regarding that promise, the way that it was given, God, in these Ten Commandments here, says to Israel, honor your father and mother, that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Often I hear people say, well, you know, the reason that I've lived as long as I have is because I obeyed my parents. Well, that's not really what that promise is all about. It's not about adding years to your life. It has more about the sense of Israel dwelling in the land. It's a corporate promise for all of Israel. And, you know, that there are other promises in the Old Testament that talk about long life as well. For example, there's a law in Leviticus, I believe it is, where it says that your weights and measures must be true and they must be honest. and if you deal with honest weights and measures, you will have a long life in the land. What does that have to do with long life? Having honest weights and measures. There's another command about just obeying the law of God will give you long life in the land. There's another command about when you find a bird's nest and you take the young for yourself, that you let the mother bird go. And if you do this, you will have a long life in the land. These are kind of strange commands to get long life. So how many of you have treated the birds well, you know? You know, so the sense of the long life, what God was doing here with these commands is he was setting up a standard, a system of lifestyle and culture that would enable Israel to have a stable society so that they would be able to live long in the land that God had given to them as a whole. And so the honoring your father and mother, that contributes to stable social life. The letting the mother bird go when you take her young, when you harvest the young, that's contributing to environmental stability, sustainability. Honest weights and measures, that's talking about an honest and trustworthy system of business and enterprise, system of business and economics. You know, countries that don't have honest business transactions, they don't last very long. And so in all these different areas of life, God was saying, if you do these things, you will live long in the land that I've given you. That's what that promise originally was all about. Well, why should we honor our parents? Well, of course, the first thing is because they gave you life. If it weren't for them, you wouldn't be here. Birth, as you think about it, you know, oftentimes I'll just think about this. It really is the most majestic act of all the order of creation. That two individuals would come together and in a relationship of love and commitment to one another, they give life to another human being, another eternal soul. And that's what Satan hates. And that's why he has influenced society to, in every way possible, to destroy the sanctity of the relationship of husband and wife. And we see it in movies, we see it in government policy, we see it in the way that things are named, we see it in laws that are passed, we see it all over the place, where marriage is something that is just kind of, it's not important. Well, we honor our parents because they gave us life. In God's books, it is very important. Jewish scholars had many different views on the creation of new life, but they saw the importance of this, that the honoring of parents is, first of all, because they gave you life. And the second thing is they sustain your life. Of course, the sustenance, the parental protection of children is something that is just natural. We see it in the natural world, whether it's mother bears protecting their young or even, I was reading about mouth-brooding fish. Mouth-brooding fish, there's about 5 species, or maybe about 10 species around the world, where the female lays all the eggs, and the male takes all these eggs and holds them in his mouth. He just holds them for 30 days until they hatch. And in those 30 days, you know what? He doesn't move. He doesn't eat. He just sits there and gestates these eggs grow inside his mouth and until finally the fish are able to get out and swim away. And then when there's danger nearby, he'll give a little signal and they'll swim back into his mouth again. And they'll be safe from that's just sort of the natural way of things. That's what God has infused into nature is the parental care of the young that he has given to us. The third reason why we should honor our parents is because they guide your life. They not only gave you life, they sustain your life through protection and other means, and they guide your life. I love the words in Proverbs 1, verse 8, where Solomon writes there, and he says, "Listen to your father's instruction and give ear to your mother's teaching." These people are important in your life. You need to listen to them. They've got wisdom. They know things that children don't know. And it's important for children to hear from them. few pages further on in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he says, "When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, he taught me. He taught me." I love seeing a picture of a father, you know, bending over a little boy, teaching him, whether it's teaching him how to ride a bike or teaching him how to hold a hammer and a saw or teaching him how to do his homework. Or maybe it's in the kitchen. Maybe it's mother teaching him how to, you know, do something, you know, do some cooking or whatever it is. I know those sound like very gender-specific roles. But whatever it is, the parents are to teach. And I know, that this task of teaching your children is becoming increasingly difficult in our society with the various messages that there are in music and movies and pressure from friends and even certain instructions and teaching that they receive at school. There have been times where I had to call the school. You know, if you call the school, be nice to the teachers. Their job is hard enough. But, you know, I would just say, so my son said that you told him this. That doesn't really jive with the values that we hold in this house, and I'm a little concerned about that. That's all. Just raise the question. Talk to them about it. Well, that's why we honor our parents. How do you honor your parents? Well, the Jews again back in the Old Testament days, the Bible scholars, they would sit down and they would say, okay, what does it mean to honor your father and your mother? And so they wrote out a bunch of different things, and different scholars would write out different things. But it was very interesting to read through them, and a lot of those teachings were collected together in a book called the Talmud, and the Talmud is kind of like the explanation, the Jewish explanation of the Old Testament law. And, you know, it says that you obey your parents unless they violate God's command. And I think that's what Paul had in mind when he says in Ephesians chapter 6, the verse we just read, you know, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, if something violates God's command, if your parents say, let's bow down to idols, well, that's something that, you know, you don't have to go along with because that violates God's commands. But we obey them because they're our parents. We obey them because they know more than us. We obey them because they have our best interests in mind. And we speak well of them. There's no complaining about your parents to your friends, okay? No talking behind your parents' backs about how bad they are, how unfair they are. In this Talmud, this collection of Jewish writings, it was interesting to see some of the things that came out. For example, they said a child is not to speak shamefully or arrogantly to a parent. You know, arrogantly, sticking out the chest and chin. You know, that's arrogance. Not to do that. Talmud says a child is not to interrupt a parent when the parent is talking. I like this one. Talmud also says that a child is not to disturb a parent who is sleeping. Now, that's not divine, you know, spirit-led teaching. You know, that's not inspired writings, but that's the way that they interpreted it. Man, how many times I remember, you know, little voice, Dad, Dad, are you asleep? Not anymore. How do we honor our parents? We obey them. We already talked about that. You speak well of them. We talked about that. You support them. You support them. They were there for us when we were growing up. Now it's our turn to be there for them. And I know that sometimes that can be an onerous task. I know of a family that they have shifts, morning and evening, to take care of a father who is in a nursing home. In the morning shift, certain ones are there, and the evening shift, others are there, just to spend time with them, just to encourage them. But, you know, it's a new phase in honoring them. And family takes care of parents. That's the principle of Scripture over and over again. I think when I think about this obedience and honoring of parents as well, the example of Jesus comes to mind. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, this is the chapter where we have the story of Jesus going to the temple when he was 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph are looking all over town for him, and then they find him 3 days later in the temple. And it says after all of that little kerfuffle in the temple, and they finally get him to join them again and head on with back to Nazareth, it says, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them." His mother kept all these things in her heart. Jesus, the all-wise God, the perfect man, the perfect, humanly speaking, perfect child, the sinless one. In some translations, says he came in and was submissive to them. He submitted to them. He went to Nazareth. He lived in their house. He was obedient to them. And I thought to myself many times, I wonder how, even at a young age, with a perfect mind, he would be able to grasp concepts and notions and do math and all kinds of things, you know, probably better than Joseph did. And yet in that carpenter shop, when Joseph would say, "Now, Jesus, I want you to do it this way," Jesus would say, "Okay." And he did it that way. It says he was obedient to them. He followed their instruction in his life. What an example for us. And you know, at the end of Jesus' life, when it came time, when he was dying, when he was on the cross, he was concerned about his mother. And he said to John, the apostle who was standing down there, he said, "John," he said, "this is now your mother. And Mary, this is now your son." So even though he, as the oldest, was going to be not going to be around anymore, he was passing on the care of his mother to someone else who would do that. As we think of honoring our father and mother here on earth, there's another sense in which we are called to honor our Father in heaven. And in Matthew 12, verses 48 to 50, we have an interesting little incident here in Jesus' life. He was in a house, he was teaching a bunch of people, and somebody said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside, and they want to speak to you." And Jesus says to the one who was speaking, and here's the words up on the screen there, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Kind of an interesting question. And then stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." He's talking, of course, of a different relationship, a spiritual relationship. "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother," or my brother and sister and mother. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ. You know, if you are a follower of Jesus today, you're part of God's family. I love those words in John chapter 1, verse 12, where it talks about the fact that Jesus came to his own received him not, they turned away from him, and then it says in verse 12, John 1, 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God," or the sons of God, if you're KJV. "To them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe on his name." The receiving and the believing of Jesus gives you the right to be called a child of God. I remember telling somebody once, I was 18 years old, I was working in a gas station, talking to the mechanic in between cars, and he's getting into some spiritual things, and he said, I said to him, I'm a child of God. Oh, I know. I talked earlier about how God speaks to me, and he goes, "Well, God speaks to you. What's that all about?" That's kind of woo-woo, you know, for somebody who doesn't know about these things. I said, "Well, I'm a child of God." And I remember his words. He said, "Well, that sounds like an arrogant thing for you to say. What gives you the right to be called a child of God?" John chapter 1, verse 12 does. Those who receive Jesus and believe in his name have the right to call themselves the children of God. So I'm a child of God. God's family, there's new kinds of relationships. And together, we honor our Father in heaven. Because he gave us life. Both physical life, but especially spiritual life. He sustains us. He gives us nourishment day by day from his word. He guides us by putting his spirit in our hearts. He's taken care of you. You're his child. He wants the very best for you. We don't speak of him shamefully. We revere his name, as we heard a few weeks ago. The book of Malachi, there's a lot in there about God is basically complaining to Israel, and he's saying, I'm your father, and yet you are not honoring me. And he said, yes, the rhetorical question, how have we not honored you? Well, you know, and then he lists a number of ways about how we give to God and how we speak about God and how we, a lot of different things in the book of Malachi. And you know, what it calls for us to do is just to give up, to give up our rights so that we can fulfill his will. He's our heavenly father. The same way that we want our children to honor us and not that we turn them into robots and they have to do everything that we say. That's not what this is all about. But just to honor us, we honor God. We submit our wills to him.